and welcome to the Welsh Rugby Podcast. I'm your host, Ben James. I'm joined here with Steph and Thomas. It's a few hours after Wales' fourth Six Nations game of 2024, and it's a fourth defeat for Warren Gatland and for Wales. They lost 45-24 to France here in Cardiff. Warren, he sort of said in Dublin the scoreline didn't reflect things. He didn't say that today. You could almost make it a case that it probably didn't reflect things more in this game, because for 65 minutes, Wales were not only in it, they were leading. And yet here we are, having lost by 20-odd points. And we're heading into a wooden spoon week, Steph. It's a strange one in many ways, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a case of so near yet so far for Wales, wasn't it? To use the old cliche. When you actually sit back and watch the game, there were, from certain aspects, there was a step forward in terms of the attack. I thought Wales showed a bit more in attack. Obviously, they targeted Thomas Ramos, who was the weak link for France. They created some nice tries, and there were some, albeit France's defence was a bit loose. And there was a moment, I think it was late in the first half in their own 22, Wainwright couldn't hold on to the ball, and if he'd held on to that, then, you know, who knows? So there was some positives from that perspective. But and for a lot of the game, they did defend quite well as well, because France lay siege to their try line for much of the first and second half, really, and you know, Wales did tackle their hearts out, but it came down to power, didn't it? Size and power, because you look at that scrum, and usually when you assess scrums, you're talking about, you know, who's technically the better scrummage and whatnot, but obviously I'm not an expert on front row play, but that came down to sheer power. Like, we were watching it in the press box, and I remember watching Emmanuel Miafu's first carry. The bloke was enormous, and you look at Antonio and people like that, and they're just a bigger and stronger side. And, you know, in international rugby, power does tell in the end, and ultimately Wales just lost the arm wrestle by Country Mile, and, you know, the floodgates opened in the last 20 minutes. They, you know, they're not a million miles away, but unless you can match these teams physically, especially with what they've got coming off the bench, then 9 times out of 10, you all win the test match.
And that's probably the most frustrating almost answer you can give, isn't it? Because there's no quick fix for that. We are, you know, it's sick and tiring saying we are where we are, but if ever there is a sort of answer where we are where we are, it's the physicality. It's, you know, but you look at the under-20s for the last few years, and they've constantly been basically having to perform miracles off a lack of a platform, you know. And to be fair, the backs they've produced in the last 2 years have shown glimpses of that. You know, we've seen them go away to, you know, Ireland and France and score some great tries, but then also just, you know, as part of a hammering, because it is, well, it's men against boys, really, isn't it? And that's, again, that was on display today. You know, you've mentioned some of the people that France brought off the bench. And one, it's their physical profile, and two, it's their experience. You know, France had 3 debutants today, but all of them had considerably more top 14 appearances than any of the Welsh boys who have made their debuts in this tournament have made in the URC. You know, Alex Mann was, what, 11 games. Cam Winnett had 15. Evan Lloyd today came off the bench. He's had 6 bench appearances, I think, for Cardiff. Maybe 6 or 9, I forget. But his last, every game he's played for Cardiff this year has been off the bench. His last appearance was on Boxing Day. And here he is coming off the bench to make his debut against France. That's what we're up against. And I think that's the most frustrating thing, because, you know, we are naturally heading into a wooden spoon week. And so, you know, I think you always want to finish a test match by sort of saying, well, what can we improve for next week? Particularly when you're going up against an Italy team who have looked quite good, and we'll get onto them in a little bit. But there's just so much sort of underlying problems, which we can't fix in a day, can we?
No, I think you make a good point as well, because, you know, you look at Emmanuel Miafu. Obviously, he's an absolute monster, so that helps. We haven't got them in Wales. And, you know, he's played in some huge games for Toulouse, winning championships. Like, they played, like, La Rochelle, for example, in front of 80,000 Stade de France, basically a test match and everything, but name. So even though it was his first cap, he was well equipped to excel at this level. And a lot of the top-end Champions Cup games and top 14 games are basically test matches. So, and it's just, you know, look at Leo Barry and the centre. You know, they're to begin with, they were behind, you know, pack going forward for large periods of the game, albeit Wales did catch France out a few times in attack. But, you know, they're playing such a high standard, whereas many of the Welsh players, unfortunately, are playing in teams that are losing quite heavily a lot of weekends. Ospreys being the exception. And, yeah, you know, I just think, as you said, the difference today was size and power, but we can't just magic up a guy the size of Antonio. You know, we just can't do it. We've got what we got. And we are where we are, probably as a result of 10 to 15 years of underinvestment to the point of neglect, really, underneath the national team. And, you know, we've got what we deserved, really.
And it's made all the more funny, obviously, you look at last week and then you have a guy like Rhys Carey being lost to Welsh rugby. And I know that's a divisive thing. I've wrote a lot about it, and I find that the comments are usually sort of split. You know, some people think that basically the Wales coaches have been so inflexible with him and just driven him away. And then other people think, well, if he can't get himself fit, then he shouldn't be around. And it, you know, it's probably more nuanced than that. And I think with a player like him, you should be finding a way to sort of make it work. You know, you speak to people at Cardiff, you speak to people in Welsh rugby, and we just haven't got those ball carriers, and we can't really afford to be losing them. And yeah, it would be sort of the ultimate kick in the teeth if he went to go play for one of the other home nations. I mean, Scotland will probably cap him, because why wouldn't they? You know, Gregor Townsend is probably spending half his week in Wales these days, around the Arms Park, looking at Jacob Beatham and the like. But I suppose, yeah, you know, the physicality is one thing, and, you know, you made a lot of good points, and, you know, the experience side of it, and even someone like, obviously, Nolan Le Garrick was man of the match, and that's his first start today for France. And you wouldn't have thought it, because, you know, he was really good, and it, you know, he's filled into the sort of the nine jersey, you know, without Dupont, better than Luke, who has in the first three games. But again, Le Garrick's got top 14 experience and a fair bit of it. The other thing that I think is frustrating today for Wales, and it's been the case through a lot of the games, probably all four games, is game management. Because, you know, you mentioned that the attack had looked better. I don't know how much of that is an overriding attacking game plan or how much of that was specific stuff to France. Basically, today, Wales just kept the ball for five phases and France gave us chances. I'd have to probably have to go back and look at it to see whether, you know, how much we actually asked questions. Because it felt like, you know, we do that stuff against England at Twickenham and we went nowhere. You know, it's just horses, you know, it's different sort of situations. But when it got to that 65-70 minute mark, just obviously there was changes and the pack changed and the halfbacks changed. But just some of the decision making was just, it was awful.
I think we shared a glance in the press box and we late on in the game where Wales had defended for their lives, finally won a turnover. Cameron Winness got like a four-man overlap and he had, I think it was Taifa Fanua in front of him, and he should have gone straight and fixed the player to put someone through, but he goes for a needless miss pass and I think it was Josh Adams was knocked into touch, and that was the end of it, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, Roman Taifanua scores.
Yeah, he scores, sorry, from the charge down. Touch, yeah.
But it was...
That was a poor decision,
it was just error after error. So yeah. I think from the turnover, Will Rowlands has the ball and he sort of cuts back behind the player. Part of me thinks he's going to get pinged for crossing because he almost stops. Yeah. And then he gives a little pass to the next forward. And then literally Wales have about six or seven players there. And you just think, just put it through the hands. Then obviously Winnett throws that that long pass. And again, this is a guy making his fourth caps. So that's just experience. That'll come. You know, it's a hospital pass, though, to Adams, because it is literally making, you know, it's doing France's job for them in defence. But even then, you know, Wales, they've reached the edge, not in the way they wanted to. So naturally, they have to work back. But it was just so unorganised. You had literally like Adam Beard directing Elliot D around in terms of being a, you know, the first receiver from that ruck, literally with his hands, like moving him and stuff like that. Gareth Davis doesn't get the caterpillar ruck right, which allows the charge down. Just, I don't know, it's just, you know, I didn't really like it when Warren Gatland used the word dumb in the first game about what Josh Adams did. But my first reaction was, that's such stupid rugby. And then it sort of continued. There's moments. So that made the scoreline, what, 37-24? So you're 13 points down. But Wales just, I know you're 13 points down, you've got 10 minutes left. So in theory, you just have to run it from everywhere. But you don't really have to. You can, you know, you've got to kick, you've got to play territory. Because that's the way you get opportunities to test rugby. You don't go coast to coast every game. And they just got stuck playing needless phases. They went through so many phases of their own 22. Just going sideways, going backwards, and then they give away a penalty and it's 40-24. And it's just, you know, it's throwing bad money after good money. And they've done it in every game, I think, really. You know, you think back to that England game. Okay, granted, they were down, was it a point? But again, they just went through so many phases in midfield when you're better off sometimes just kicking the ball away, trying to sort of force a line out, get a turnover down the pitch, and then you can play from that. It almost feels like there's such an air of, you know, we are where we are and we forged this narrative that we're at the start of a rebuild, that there's just less pressure on the Welsh team, but that's almost manifesting it in the way that, I don't know, there's almost like there's less consequences for actually trying to play solid game management. Like today's the first day that they've kicked a penalty at goal in the Six Nations.
Let me ask you a question. If Dan Biggar plays today, they don't win because they haven't got the pack, but is the scoreline a bit closer for Anscombe?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I think so. I think, yeah. You know, you think back 2 years ago when a much better France team came to Cardiff and Biggar basically almost rained on their parade that day with a really gritty performance. But yeah, just that there was just a lack of control in those, you know, I think Sam Costello, I thought, had a good game.
Positives outweigh the negatives of them, I think.
Yeah, there was like the odd mistake, you know, like I think he put a kick out on the full, but I thought he you know, he took the ball to the line well, he managed the sort of the backs, he dovetailed nicely with Owen Watkin, and I think the centres by and large worked out.
Watkin probably had his best game for Wales, do you think?
Yeah, I think he marshalled things well, he sort of worked well in the attack. Joe Roberts had a decent second cap.
Tell you one thing, mind. He was lucky to score that try.
Yeah.
That ball should have gone to Josh Adams on the wing. I think it was Adams standing there anyway.
There was two. I think it was Adams and Winnett right there.
Yeah, he was lucky men. There.
Yeah, it was. I think Howley basically said afterwards that he was it was heart in mouth stuff. So yeah, he was a bit lucky there. But I think they went well, considering that was the big talking point last week. And it'll be interesting to see what Gatland does, whether they went well enough to start them against Italy. Because I think that would have been part of his thinking was, you know, it's a nice place to be. If you experiment against France, if they play well enough, then you can get away with playing them in that Italy game and you know, giving them more time without it being sort of a bombshell, sort of taking a risk against Italy sort of thing, particularly with the wooden spoon on the line now. But yeah, Costello had a really solid game, but just, yeah, I don't know. Johan Lloyd, I just think a few things. I thought at Twickenham, it wasn't as bad at Twickenham as some people made out. Like I've seen some people question some of his kicking, and obviously there was that moment where he got snagged by Maratoji, but you know, he didn't want the ball in that situation. You know, he's pointing to his forwards and he gets the pass and he, you know, he tries
on
to,
Thomas
yeah, he tries to make the best out of a bad situation. He gets caught, but it's not really on him. And a lot of his kicking against England were calculated risks, because basically England were bringing such a ferocious blitz, then Wales were pinned back, that, you know, he was trying crossfield kicks from deep, but it sort of, it made England have to stand off, and then Wales had success later in that first half. Today, I just thought his kicking just was off. You know, there's a few sort of bombs which were just, I don't know, just weren't really, they were just a bit aimless. And it just looked a little bit too much for him today. So that's the concern. But it's, I don't know, it's been a similar story in all of these games. We go back to the game management. You know, Scotland, they were riding the crest of a wave when they for 35 minutes, but when it actually became a game again, they didn't know how to finish that game off. Scotland were all at sea when they Scotland, funny enough, I thought that would have been Scotland's warning for the tournament, that actually, you know, we can't afford to take our foot off the pedal. Clearly, judging by, you know, Rome on Saturday, it wasn't.
Well, I don't know. You look at the game, I agree with you, but you look at the game yesterday in Rome, I think a lot of that was down to Italy rather than Scotland taking their foot off the gas.
No, maybe not taking their foot off the gas, but imploding, because I think a lot of Scottish players did.
They gave away stupid penalties, which the likes of Ireland wouldn't do.
Yeah, and it, you know, I saw someone say, it's, you know, imagine a few years ago thinking that you'd be in a situation where every Scottish player bar Finn Russell was almost imploding, and he's the sort of the the calm head in the storm, and that's where they are. And I thought the Cardiff game would be enough for them to sort of snap out of that, because they literally went from 27-0 up to no foothold in the game. Like, you rarely see a team have such a little foot, like the penalties were just going against them. They barely got out of their 22 and it was just one-way traffic. But then as soon as Wales made it one score, the momentum went out of it and they didn't know how to finish it off. Then in England, they didn't know how to sort of, you know, turn that sort of that tight score line in their favour. They just overplayed at halfway. They went, had a midfield line out that basically ended up back on the 10 metres because they went through about 20 odd phases. And then they tried a kick, just an aimless little chip over the top. Ireland, you know, less of a game, but there was still game management flaws there in terms of, well, when they had a yellow card and it was 17-7 and they just was just sort of blinkered really in terms of where Ireland's defence was shortened on their own line. And again, today with all that sort of stuff overplaying in their own half, just needlessly. And I don't know how much of that comes down to this mindset that's sort of been fostered that, you know, we're in a rebuilding phase, and there's been so little pushback against this Wales team.
You know, I actually interviewed Martin Williams on last week sometime, and he was saying, and I can see what he was saying, if you go back to 2003, when Wales last had the wooden spoon and a whitewash under Steve Hansen, if you remember, Hansen had, got rid of Scott Quinnell, Rob Howley, Neil Jenkins, who were obviously stalwarts at the time, and had put faith in a lot of young players. And at the time, that whitewash is horrific, and a whitewash or a wooden spoon should always be painful. But if you actually look back at some of those games, there was one game, for example, against Ireland in 2003, where Stephen Jones hit a drop goal like 79th minute, and O'Gara hit one like the 82nd minute to win it. But my point is, even though they lost all the games, if we look back to that tournament, they could have probably won three of those games, but they didn't know how to win games. And then there was this period where Wales pushed New Zealand in the World Cup against England in the quarterfinals, should have won both games. And they were going through this period then, they were growing, and they were getting into situations where they had they had some of the top teams on the ropes, but didn't know how to win games, and then they won the slam in 05. I'm not saying that this Welsh team's going to win a slam,
no,
but it's similar sort of thing. Like, there's a lot of good in Wales's game, but in the key moments, they're just not nailing them, are they? They're just taking poor decisions, just not doing the right thing at the right time. And, you know, it's like this, you know, you've taken Dan Biggar out, you've taken Anscombe out. You know, I could go on and on, couldn't I, about players that have left over the last 2 years. And, you know, you're looking at one now, you've got Josh Navidi, Alwyn Jones. That's a lot of experience and a lot of know-how, and that's gone. And I think there's going to be a real challenge of leadership this week, I think, because it's not about, oh, go out there and, you know, this is about, oh, you know, you'll be a good team in a year or 2 years. No, if you lose to Italy, you got to start questioning stuff.
Yeah.
Like coaching, selection, maybe not so much selection because he hasn't got much of a choice, but we've got to question a lot of things. And these players aren't, they can't rely on, oh, the talented players, they'd be good players in 2 years. It's the here and now. This is a cup final. They got to win it, or, you know, there's going to be a seriously painful, you know, review into Welsh rugby.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's, again, that's just probably another frustrating thing is, as you say, you know, there could be similarities to 2003 where there is good days to come. But ultimately, we don't know that, do we? We don't know that this team is, you know, all the talk from Gatland is that this team is going to develop into a good team. But we're in a place where we don't know if that's the case. And then, of course, just the whole situation in Welsh rugby is not brilliant in terms of budgets coming down. You know, I don't love the fact we're comparing it to 2003 because, of course,
yeah, we don't want a whiteboard.
I mean, we went from 12 clubs to four regions, and there was all this, you know.
Well, it might have to happen again.
You know, we're gonna rip it all up again. Is what I'm saying. I don't think we want that, but
if we carry on the way we are, we're gonna get the same results.
Yeah,
right?
But I guess the point I'm making is it's not a great. You know, are we confident there's going to be positive change throughout Welsh rugby?
No.
No. And then, so you're banking on, well, you don't want, one, you don't want this team to cover up the cracks, but two, you don't know if they will or not. That's 2 years down the line, and it's just, you know, it's just all a bit of a guessing game. But of course, that's all for the future. As you say, it is, this week is different because there is a wooden spoon at the end of it, and it would be the first time that I think questions are asked of this current squad. You know, because ultimately Gatland's never lost to a tier two nation. And I know Italy have been, you know, much improved in this tournament. They, you know, with their coaching changes, they look like they've got grit to go with the sort of the attacking ability that they do have. So they can sort of stay in the fight, keep the scoreboard ticking over. Even with Garbisi's kicking tea.
He has lapses in concentration, which can be quite costly.
Yeah, but I think they've got a nice setup in their backline now. There's a few other sort of experienced players, you know, because a few years ago they probably had to rely on Tommy Allen to sort of play 15 and, you know, scrum halves. Scrum halves always been a bit of a funny one with them in recent years.
The standard of their player is a lot higher.
Guys like Menoncello and Brex are just different level. They've sometimes in previous years they've obviously had these quality players like Garbisi and, you know, Monty Ioane caused Wales problems 2 years ago, but they probably lack the control. But I think they're better at that now. But yeah, this is a huge week for Wales because the wooden spoon would be a real test for this whole narrative that we are on a rebuilding face, because I suppose you asked the question, rebuilding or not, should a Welsh team be losing 5 out of 5? And whatever the correct terminology is for getting the wooden spoon, because winning the wooden spoon is an oxymoron. So whatever, you know, you don't lose it either. So receiving the wooden spoon, I'm told it doesn't matter because there's no actual spoon, so you don't win it anyway because there's no spoon. So it's, you know, so that's all semantics. But it would be a real test of this narrative. Because I think for the first 3 weeks of the tournament, there was no pushback on the narrative, was there? Let's be honest. And then I think actually dropping Tompkins and North was the first real pushback.
North has been one of our better players as well.
Well, exactly, yeah. I think people questioned it then. I think if they lose to... you know, we're recording this literally in an office in Cardiff, over the road from the stadium. You know, I don't know what the reaction is going to be to this defeat to France. I think people will probably take a lot of the positives and and sort of put down the negatives that we've mentioned, the game management stuff, to the fact that it's an inexperienced Wales team, and particularly in key positions. But yeah, it's now a big, God, 6-day turnaround as well.
There's two things that stood out for me, from Italy's victory over Scotland. The first thing, in the past, it's almost been a case of, if Italy start well, they've got a chance, but Scotland blew them out of the water in the first 15 or so minutes. And at that stage, I was thinking, it's going to be a rout here, because Scotland got really good players, and you know, it's a confident team, but they've got a backbone. They're quite mentally tough. I don't think other former Italian teams were. When they've had wins in the past, they've kind of like dragged teams down to their level.
Yeah.
But so that was one thing. And the second thing was that point that, in the past, when they've won, they've dragged teams down, but the quality of their rugby is so good. Their pack is stronger than it's been for a while, and they're going to cause Wales problems with the set piece, I think, especially with, I can't pronounce his name, Fischetti, the loose head. I think he's one of the best in Europe, full stop. But the quality of their attack is so good. You know, you mentioned like Tomáso Allan there, nothing against him, but like, quality of their backs are far higher now. Cap Watts was a class player. Brex was, and Menoncello are outstanding. Ioane,
Liner now, yeah.
Gabisi has the odd lapse in concentration, but he's a class. He plays for Toulon, didn't he? You know, they can sign who they want, but they decided to sign him. And I just think, like, in the past, you know, if you had big Arlen Wynn, etc., even if we were playing pool, you'd be like, right, they're home. There's enough leadership there. They're scraped through. And we hope that'll be the case this time, because Italy be on a high and, you know, be a different game. But I'm not as confident. I think if Italy can replicate that performance, they can win. And you look at the state of Welsh rugby, Ospreys doing well considering, but on the whole, the regions are really struggling, whereas Benetton are doing really well, and bulk of this team is from Benetton, so there's that cohesion, and then they just added players on top like RBC. I'm starting to question, have Wales got better players than Italy? I don't know, it's a lot closer than what it was. And should Wales be beating Italy given the state of the game? I'm not sure. Yeah. You know, it's going to be a real fascinating game, I think.
And then I suppose the final thing on that is, on a simplistic level, given that Italy have won one and drawn one, and Wales are 0-4, Italy know how to win games.
Yeah, losing's a habit and winning's a habit.
Yeah. I don't know how much you read into that, because, you know, if you look at this Welsh team, all right, there's a lot. There are new caps in some positions, but, you know, there's enough of this team from the World Cup. You know, so, you know, there's enough experience in there. And you know, Italy's always a different beast in the sense, you know, of whether they actually, you know, I think there's even now with Italy's improvements, there's probably a difference between believing, you know, knowing how to win a test against an England and Ireland and a France, even Scotland in the opening round, and Italy. And that's, you know, no disrespect to Italy, I think that's just probably a mental thing, in the same sense that, you know, even when Ireland are better than New Zealand, you'd still back Wales to beat Ireland over New Zealand. Just, it's perception as much as anything. But that, again, is going to be interesting to see how that is, you know, how Wales manage this week in so many different ways. Mentally, how they get themselves up for this one. You know, Gatland spoke about not hiding and embracing the challenge. Physically, it's a 6-day turnaround. And, you know, there's a few knocks today. Tommy Revel's being assessed in the next day for a knee injury. If he's out, you know, Tain Basham's the only natural open side in the squad. And that could, you know, that could change the whole complexion of the back row there. Selection will be interesting. Whether he goes back to those centres, whether he puts Dav Jenkins back in the second row.
He played well today.
Do you know what? I think most of the loose five played well.
26 tackles.
Yeah, I think him, Roland's Beard, Rethel and Wainwright all played well, but I don't know if it was the best combination in the pack. I think you probably lost something in terms of mobility. But, you know, these are all questions for Gatlin to sort of ponder over in this shortened week. But I think we'll call it a night there because it's been a long old tournament. It's been a long old day. So that's it.
You don't want to hear my plan for Welsh rugby. I'll save that for next.
And I will save that for the end of the tournament, I think. We'll see if we got a wooden spoon in hand first before we start dissecting Welsh rugby completely. So that's it for today's podcast. As we say, Wales are now 0-4 in the Six Nations, having lost to France in Cardiff. So unfortunately for me and Steph, that means we've got a wooden spoon week.
Can't wait.
Coming up. These are not the weeks you get into the job for it. We're a long way away from that Six Nations of 2021, going for a Grand Slam in the final week.
Can't wait for the press conferences this week. It'll be upbeat.
It's going to be a fun one, that's for sure. But we'll be back in the week, hopefully sounding a bit more positive. But if you have enjoyed the podcast, do make sure to subscribe and to leave it a review. But until the next one, goodbye.